Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Hey guys, it's Autumn Rain with Beyond the Record, and today I have singer and songwriter Aaron Page here with me today. How are you doing today, Aaron?
I'm good. I'm blessed. I can't complain. How you doing?
I'm good. I can't complain either.
Sure.
So I just want to start off by getting your start in music. So how did you begin this musical journey of yours?
Oh man. I can say I've been in music my whole life. I'm one of seven, so I got a lot of siblings. So my two oldest brothers, they were really involved in music, like just growing up, just from listening to different music to actually like trying to produce. My second oldest brother was a DJ. My oldest brother used to sing in a choir in high school. And so that's really where my inspiration came from, as far as like just wanting to kind of see what music was, because they were the coolest people to me like growing up. So I just wanted to see what they were into. And then as I got older, I guess I just found that I could sing. And so with that, my mother put me and my siblings in a music and arts academy in Connecticut. It's called Neighborhood Studios. And she actually got a job there just because my mom was really big on us not being in the streets. She didn't want us making no trouble or nothing like that. She's a single mother. She's got all these kids. And so she's trying to do the best she can. And so she puts us in this music and arts academy. She actually gets a job there just so that she can kind of make sure that we're good. In a sense, like pretty much. And so she always wanted to be around. She always wanted to be involved in what we did. And so, she puts us in the academy. And then that's really where I just fell in love with art and music and all of the above. And I was about 11 years old when I started going there, from like 11 to 14, because when I was 14, we moved to Texas. And so from about 11 to 14 is really where I just like was just in this world of just learning what music really was and just listening to a whole bunch of different styles and genres and taking all these different classes at the school. And that's when I found out like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So like, I've always been fascinated with music, but like, if I could pinpoint a certain time in my life where the switch kind of flipped for me was at that school. And I was like, man, now this is what I want.
No, I love that your mom was a part of that journey as well, because I think that's such to have that type of support in the beginning of that musical journey. Cause you know, sometimes a lot of parents just like, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. And sometimes the arts don't get that much support, but to have your mom there is so awesome. I love that you did that.
My mom is like, my mom is a superhero for sure. I look at her now, I'm like, damn, I don't know how you did half of what you did, especially with all these kids. But nah, she's definitely like, actually, I just had a release party too. And I had her like in the middle of the crowd with me and all that stuff. It was like a week ago. We just did this release party for the project. And I don't know, just kind of sharing that moment where it was like definitely surreal. Cause there's so many different times where like, we bump heads, you're a kid, you become a teenager, it was definitely amazing. She's definitely my superhero.
I love that. And I love that also in your music, I see that you're always giving like an ode to R&B legends, like, Beyonce, SRV, Odyssey, so many more. So how is that such an important part that you include that in your music?
It's what I come from, like one way or another is what we like grew up on. It's the foundation that has been set for like people like me and me, specifically in my life, because, you know, like I said, these are pieces of not just my life musically, but my life in general. Like a lot of these songs, a lot of these things that I pay homage to are parts of the soundtrack of my life. And so they're very pivotal moments. And plus, it's just dope ass music. Like, it's just like, it's amazing music. It's undeniable music. So, and it's stuff that just kind of just be in my head as I'm going through my, I guess, writing process and whatnot. And so, and I always feel like it's really important that we pay homage and that we give credit to the people who have come before us and have done the things that we want to do. Like, I study these people a lot. I study like all of them. Like, I started calling it studying, but I just watch it because it's just like a game. It's like playing a video game to me. It's like playing PS5. So I just watch it and I just like to like absorb, and I just like showing love too. And so if I, any way I can do that to the people that came before me and that made it possible for me to do what I do now, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. And we can also, not only do you just call out those artists, but we can also hear it in your music, you know, as fans and stuff. So do you have any particular music influences that, you know, you look to see your career on?
Yes, all the time. And it varies song from song, song by song. I can say, honest, I mean, I know I get a lot of like Bryson Tiller comparison, and like I've gotten some even like Drake comparison. Weekend, like a lot of different things, and it's true, it's very accurate. I do get a lot of inspiration from those guys, and like I said, those are people that have come before me who have walked so I can run. And I'm appreciative of that. excuse me, but yeah, there's so many different influences. Like I can say in some songs I might take some runs or some melodies that were from 90s R&B and I might put them on a sympathy beat, or I might put them on a Lord Knows beat and just take little elements of even pop references or even rock or country, little references or styles or just different tones, and I'll put them into what I do. And that's kind of how I create what I create. Like, man, I know there's one song, it's actually not out yet, but I'll take different inspiration from a lot of people, like Fantasia. I love Fantasia. Of course, Bryson Tiller, of course, Drake, of course, like Weeknd, Beyonce, SWV, all that, because it's all what I grew up on and it's all like kind of embedded in my DNA. Now, for a while, and I might be taking a long winded route here, but for a while, I would like copy what I saw, especially like growing up trying to figure out what like my sound was. So I would try to copy like a Drake song, or I would try to copy like a Neo song. Neo's actually really big for me, man. I love Neo. But I would try to copy and like almost replicate to the T what a Neo song would sound like, or what a Drake song would sound like, or whatever. But as time comes and I've progressed as a person, as an artist, these things start to kind of form into its own, and that's how I kind of develop my own sound. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's actually a really beautiful thing if you can take something from what was and turn it into something new. But I say all that to say there's so many things that inspire me, and yes, I'm not gonna, like, I know some people might say, oh, that I've developed my own thing on my own, but no, I definitely have drawn and still draw inspiration from tons and tons of different artists. I can talk about it for hours, but yeah, I don't think it'll ever stop because it's being inspired by other people.
Yeah. And I feel like I can hear it in your music, and the artists that you did call out are some of my personal favorites as well. Like, yeah. I love Bryson. I love Drake, and both of those artists can mesh like the R&B elements as well as the hip hop elements. And with you too, are also really great storytellers. So I want to know more about like your experience too, since you mentioned Bryson. So I know like you opened for him and Party Next Door at one point. So what was the experience of working with these two great artists?
It's definitely like full circle, because like we want to talk about pivotal points in life. For me, I was in high school when Bryson Tiller dropped Trap Soul, and that changed everything for me. And like even Party, like Party's Purrs and Rugs, that changed everything for me. So being able to interact with these guys and actually being embraced, and these guys actually like showing love, it kind of just showed me that like, this is real. Like, I can actually make something. Because, you know, artists, we get like a little delusional at times. And then sometimes it's, we separate ourselves from reality. And then when reality hits, it hurts sometimes. But actually, like, being embraced and actually being around these guys and being, having the opportunities that I've been blessed with, it's just really full circle, and I'm really appreciative of it. And then actually seeing these guys like up close, like, I wouldn't say I fanned out in front of them. I wouldn't say I fanned out, but in my own little time, I'm like, damn, like, this is, you know, this is amazing. Like, this is just the beginning as well. But nah, just being able to watch those guys work and watch, you know, what it really takes to kind of put a show together, and just being around the people that like have really stamped a time period in my life, and I can really say have changed my view of music and how I do things. It's amazing to be around that, and it's kind of surreal.
Yeah. And like I said, like, you mentioned like two of my favorite albums from them as well. And I think when you do go back to listen to those projects, you remember where you were when you first heard them for 100%. The first time. And yeah, for you to have that close proximity with them and learn from them as you go on your musical journey is just a beautiful experience. So yeah, I want to start talking more about, like, we talked about your influences, but I want to talk more about your music. And what are three songs from your own discography that you want new fans to listen to get to know Aaron Page better?
Three new songs, man. That's not easy, actually. Three new songs. Okay. Bet.
It can be in your discography, wherever you are. Yeah.
Okay. I think the Undisputed has to be Lord Knows. Has to be Lord Knows. That one, even the making of that song is really like special to me. It wasn't even like it was anything special happening in the session, but just the energy that kind of flowed when I made that. Yeah, for sure, Lord Knows. I would say you have to listen to Pretty Girls Like R&B. Yeah. Gotta listen to Pretty Girls Like R&B. Pretty Girls, Lord Knows. And then I would say Signs.
Ooh.
Signs. Those are different sides of me and the things that I like to create and how I feel when I'm making music. So yeah, there's more. I would tell everybody to listen to the whole thing, of course. Like, I got a, you know, shameless plug. But yeah, I think off top, if I had to choose three, probably be those. Yeah, I'm gonna leave it at that. Cause yeah.
those are perfect. Those are perfect. If I think I would definitely choose those two. I think maybe my third one would have been Sympathy. I really like that song too.
I love Sympathy. And it's I love Sympathy. Shout out to Damani, because he definitely came through, and I appreciate him. Yeah, going crazy on that. But definitely oh my gosh, I was so sick when I made Sympathy. Really? And I really loved the beat, and I really just wanted to push through because, I mean, I just love music, so it don't matter. Like, I've been sick before, and I still want, I just, like, I don't know, I feel like I got to get it out. I'm really happy with how Sympathy turned out and where it's come today. And I really appreciate people like you saying, like, I love Sympathy. So that's just a testament to the work that we've been putting in behind the scenes. But yeah, thank you for enjoying that.
Of course. Like, I genuinely really, really love this project. So that's why I'm really excited to continue to talk to you about it. Mm-hmm. And I want to, let's just go into it. So before I go, what does that title mean to you?
Before I go is really a conversation. And all of the music that I make is really reflective of like relationships and where I've come in life and where I see myself going. And so pretty much before I go is just a conversation of like, hey, pretty much it's a relationship conversation of saying, hey, like, you know, I'm about to make this change in life. I'm about to do something that I've never done before and that we've never done before. And I just want to make sure, like, you know, are we good before I go do this thing? Are we okay? Or there's certain things that in relationships that you talk about, you know, before I make this decision to kind of chase this dream or whatever. Like, are we good? Like, and when I leave, are you still going to be there when I get back? Like, I'll forever have your back. Are you going to have mine? Or like some fun shit. Like, you know, we might be outside and this is the life that we're living now. But it's definitely a conversation before I go. Just before I go and ascend off into this new version of myself. Will you still be there? And are we still going to continue to grow and really just morph and evolve in life as we know it?
Oh, I like that explanation. Cause I felt like when I first heard the title, it was, I don't know what I was going to get when I heard the album. And I feel like I definitely hear that throughout the songs in this. So I love that. It was really dope.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you have your own favorite track on there? I feel like this is really hard to choose.
Oh my gosh. Somebody just asked me this the other day. It is mad hard to choose. All right, let me think. My favorite might actually be, all right, it's a tie. It might be a tie.
Okay.
Either For Real or On the Low.
Okay.
For Real, because that gives a whole different vibe. That's just a completely different. And I like being able to put different elements of what I do into a song. And I think that I was able to get that off, like get that thought process, that energy off in that one. And then On the Low, I just love the R&B of it. I love the story of it. I'm actually impressed with myself. I listen to it. I'm like, damn, like I sang that. I don't know. But yeah, I think I'm really happy with that. And I was able to put, like I said, some of those influences into that song. Where when you listen to like my ad-libs and just the different melodies and stuff, I think to me, at least, I was able to kind of give that R&B that we've grown up on a little bit in that one. So there's, like I said, the whole thing is my favorite, but if it is a really hard choice, if I had to choose.
I love that you called out For Real, because that was one of my favorites.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes, yeah. For sure. Yeah, I love For Real. Oh my gosh.
Production on there too. And I know you worked with producers 97 and Nights on there. And it's the beat switch for me. It's the beat
switch. Yeah.
So what was your experience like hearing that beat for the first time?
When I heard it, all right, so in the beginning, you know, it's all chill. It's like Mel, it's like jazz playing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm listening to it. I'm in the studio with my engineer and I'm like, man, please be an R&B beat. Please be an R&B before the beat drops. Please be an R&B beat. And it drops and I'm like, damn, it's not R&B. But I was just feeling it. I was just, I don't know what type of like mode I was in, because when I made it, it was like really me and the engineer in the studio. And so, what's it called? I don't know. It really just happened. I can't really explain it. I was just feeling myself. I just wanted to, you know, pop it. Like, I just wanted to talk my shit, like, really. And, that's really how it came to be. It was a really fun session for me. A lot of times, the most fun I have is, like, when I'm by myself and I'm able to, like, kind of tap into different parts that I don't really want other people to see just yet, but if I can put it into the music, that's the best way for me to create and communicate how I'm feeling or what I want to say. It's really hard for me to kind of express myself like just by talking. But when I can put it into like the music, it kind of gives me the space to fully be myself and, or to kind of like tap into different parts of myself that I probably didn't even know. But not with For Real. Once I started, I just wanted to have fun. And then putting the different ad-libs throughout the song and just having different layers of harmonies and just different melodies that I put in the song, I think that really tied it together and that kind of satisfied the R&B head in me. But then also, like, I kind of wanted to take it there and just kind of, just talk my shit, really. And so that's the part that was probably the most fun to me, was putting that whole thing together and fusing both those worlds, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And I think that's one of my favorite parts of like the new age of like R&B too. It's just that like you guys are able to mesh those two, like hip hop elements, R&B elements, but still just have like But you like specifically still have some like core like R&B hits as well. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I think it's just being able as an artist to mesh those two things is like so brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's exciting for fans, honestly, because before I press play on this album, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to get. And I'm kind of excited. I'm kind of nervous. Like,
yeah.
But I loved it.
Thank you. I think that it's for me, at least, it's really important to be fluid. Like I said, I know where my foundation is. I know the things that have inspired me and the things that I grew up on and the things that just naturally come from me. But I think that it is very important to be fluid and to be like well-versed, because you have a different understanding for not even just music, but for life and for people and different like walks of life. And so I think there's just a different level of understanding that comes with all of that.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about some of our favorites from this album, and I just wanted to go back into kind of like our hot topic, but just something that's going into a deeper sense of these songs that you have on this project. For example, like Lord Knows and Sympathy, I really like that there was like some yearning in these songs. So do you think that is something that is missing from R&B right now?
Missing. I will say there's some people that do kind of get vulnerable in R&B, but I think that there needs to be some level of emotional availability in R&B. So not just yearning, but kind of expose yourself a little bit, but yeah, let be a little like raw with yourself. And if you, and like, it's okay to love. I think that's the thing that we don't really get into today. It's okay to love somebody. It's okay to want somebody. It's okay to want to feel wanted. And I think that that's the R&B that we grew up on.
Yeah.
And I keep saying that we grew up on, but that was like, even before that, like, because R&B doesn't just have to be love songs and just doesn't have to be completely, but I think that if we allow ourselves to kind of, like I said, tap into like a deeper level of yourself and allow yourself to be more vulnerable, whether you want to pop your shit and you know, talk it or you want to sing a love song. I think that Drake does that really well. Like he allows himself to be vulnerable. And it's not even just about in a lovey-dovey way, but allowing yourself to be open. So I think that we do need that in R&B. And that's what I'm saying. Like with Lord Knows, that was a really fun one to make, because I think for one of the first times I was allowing myself to just kind of open up and just let this flow onto this record for me. And that's something that was really, really real. And I think that it resonates with people because it is real. I always say like the energy that happens in that session translates onto the record, and because Soundwave's energy is real. So whatever happened in that session with me flows out into the record, and that's what y'all feel. So allowing yourself to be vulnerable is a very important thing, but you need to get to that mental space an emotional space to allow yourself to do so. So yeah, as far as yearning, I think we can use it for sure. And just let people know, like, it's cool to be young and turn, but it's also cool to fall in love. It's cool to, I love love. I love people. I love life. And I love experiences. And so those things, I think, help, especially in R&B. They be calling us emotional and all that. So I get it. I understand. I get it. But shoot, that's needed. Like, you know, I don't want to be outside all the time. But, I definitely think that is definitely an aspect that's needed, not even in just R&B, but just music.
Yeah, life. I think it's just like a reflective of society sometimes that we hear in music. And I think how society shifts, especially in the dating world, and then songs just like, I'm gonna be outside, like, I don't really have a roster, all this stuff.
Yeah,
and it's like cute for a second, but like the reason why the greats are the greats is because they have songs that really resonate like throughout generations, you know?
Yes.
Songs our parents were listening to, but I still love it. Like, you know?
100%, 100%. It's crazy that you said that, because I just had that conversation yesterday. Yeah. Like the things that make generational music are certain elements that you just can't let go. They're human elements that like we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And yeah, like I want to say how long you gonna be outside, but like,
no, seriously,
you can't be outside forever. And even I don't know. Outside is fun. Mm-hmm. Outside is fun. Never mind. I'm thinking about it. I'm good. Next question.
No, you're fine. No, you're totally fine. I wanted to go into your song Sympathy too, because I know it's like one of my favorites on the album. And you got to work with Damani on that. So how did that collaboration come about?
Man, so what happened? We went to Atlanta. We're in Atlanta, and I was recording with some producers, B100. Actually, he was in that session. He actually did the beat along with Music Major X. I'm sorry if I'm forgetting anybody else on the song. But yeah, super dope guys. I mean, clearly the beat's amazing. So we're working, and I'm like, what's it called? Jet lag. Like the flight got me messed up. Like when I fly, my ears get really clogged up and like my whole sinuses get messed up. So I'd be like miserable for maybe the first day off a flight. But we had just flown in that day and we went to the session that evening, and I'm in the session, like just out of it, but I can't show that, you know, I love this. I can't show it. And I want to give these guys a good impression. I don't want to waste anybody's time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm recording. I'm not recording. We're just listening to beats. And finally, I'm like, you know what? Like something about that Sympathy beat hit. Once like the drums came in, I was like, okay, yeah, I can work with this. I like this. And so I get in the booth and I pretty much freestyle like the whole thing, like the hook and everything. I just freestyled it because, mind you, like I'm going through it. I'm in the booth going through it, but I can't let them know that I'm going through it. So I'm asking my manager, I'm like, man, do I sound congested? Like, do I sound bad? So he's like, no, you sound all right. I'm like, okay, bet. Like, thank God. I'm like, okay, I can get through this. And so, yeah, I record the whole thing. I pretty much like freestyle it. I think I did like half of another song, but I really don't like, I don't like letting people down. So I'm like, man, I got y'all, whatever. And so, I record that. And then I believe somebody from Damani's team. No, he was definitely there. So he's in there. He's hearing the song. And then so we're just chopping it up. And I didn't know at the time that he's working with Damani. I'm just in there just working or whatever. So boom, we finished that up. Afterwards, we had the song. And like the next day we listened to it. And I'm like, man, this shit is amazing. Like, this is actually really good. And my manager's like, man, yeah, nah, this is one of them ones. And then we're just thinking about like me finishing the song, but then we're talking like the team and all, we're talking and like, man, what if we get like a feature on there? What if we get, I don't know, a rapper on there? Like, that'd be like, rap and R&B duos don't really happen the way that they used to happen. So why don't we, like, again, draw that inspiration from what we know and make something like that happen? So I'm like, man, who makes sense on this record? And so we're talking. And then finally, there's a couple options, but then Damani's name comes across. And so I had heard a little bit of Damani's music before, of course, but I took a deeper dive into his music and I was like, hell yeah. Yeah, this is the one. So come to find out, boom. So come to find out, my manager, Super Chris, comes in and he's like, hey, little do you know, I already got the contact to Damani, his team and all that. So we send the record over to them and they're like, hell yeah. Like, we love the record. Boom. So next time I came to Atlanta, Damani just pulled up. He did his verse in like 20 minutes. Like 20 minutes. Came in, knocked it out. In the session, I'm like, this is one of them ones. Like, I know it. It's in my bones. And so, he came in, knocked it out. That was the song. And then, yeah, we just put our boots to the ground and laced them up and got it out. But I'm actually really happy that record came about. And I don't even know if I was feeling 100% that day, I don't even know if the song would be as good. Like, I don't think that I would have taken the extra mental leap to actually get it done. But I thank God for the ability to do it. But yeah, that's pretty much how it was. A sick AP and a willing Damani.
No, I loved it because I think that you guys just like complimented each other like so well on that song. So that's why it's one of my favorites. And like you said, just like going back to, you know, having like rappers and R&B people just like collabing together and just making like timeless music. So that's why I really, really loved that track. So I know that you just released this album, but I'm going to ask this anyway. What can fans expect next from you? Like visuals, anything?
Yes. We're working on some visuals right now. I'm going to say which one. I'm going to let it be a surprise. I can't give away the whole little sauce. Yeah, we're definitely working on visuals. To some of my favorites, if it was up to me, I would shoot everything. Like we're definitely shooting visuals. I'm still working on music. I don't think I'll ever just stop working on music. So definitely expect new music. Praying soon, sooner than later. I'm not going to put no dates on it because I'm not going to have nobody holding me to nothing, but definitely soon. Like this is just the beginning, and I think it's a great start. And we're definitely still working on these records, getting visuals put out and put together. Maybe some dope little collaborations and partnerships coming soon. Hint, hint. So that's pretty much it. And then just be on the lookout for new music. Like keep everybody who's supporting me and just showing love. Keep on doing that because that's what we need. And honestly, we're literally coming from ground zero. Like I was at a point a year and a half ago where I had maybe 1,000 monthly listeners and we were just trying to figure it out. And there was times where there was a lot of doubt around my name. So we're just continuously working, and I don't take the support for granted. Like I'm grateful every day that I wake up and I see people that repost my stuff. I was just in the gym the other day. I play basketball a lot. So I was in the gym the other day, and after we finished hooping, a dude comes up to me. He's like, "Man, you look like that guy, Aaron Page." I'm like, "Well, that's me, brother." But that stuff makes my day, and that just, I'm very, very appreciative of it because I know where we come from, and I know, at least I have an idea of what it takes to make it to another level. And so I'm just appreciative. And, this is not going to stop. Like, this isn't just for show. This isn't no fly by night type of thing. Like, this is my life. And so, yeah, definitely look forward to new music, new visuals and all that stuff, because I want to, the same way that people pouring into me, I want to pour back into them.
Yeah, no, I'm so happy. Cause I think sometimes you get to a point where it's just like, I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm so happy that you kept going, because like I said, I really, really love this project and I know a lot of people can resonate with it. And lastly, where can everyone follow you to stay updated with all your new stuff?
Yeah, if you're looking for me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all that cool stuff. Who is Aaron Page? That's Who is Aaron Page? And that's on everything.
Nice. It was so nice speaking with you today.
Likewise, thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it.